Well, today I'd like to talk with you about
joy.
If you think about the fruits of the Spirit, right, Michael? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and then the rest. Joy, one of the fruits of God's Spirit in the lives of the Christians, in your life, in the life of the redeemed. Are you a joy-filled Christian? Do you have joy in your life today? Has it dwindled and gone out sort of like a little light or a candle? Or is it burning brightly like a firework or a morning sun rising over the sea? Let's talk today about joy and what God wants for your life and how, if you don't have it, to get it. If you have it, how to get more of it. And I'm not just talking about happiness today. We can all get happy at times. I'm talking about joy, which is something that's deep, that goes throughout all life in the good and the bad, a joy that courses through and overpowers everything else in this life. Can we have a joy like that? Has God wanted to give it to you? Well, let's take a look at joy today. What would God teach us about it? First of all, we note again, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Does God want us to have it? You know, if we think about God, if you think about God right now, a lot of your joy is dependent upon your view of God, what he's actually like. You know, if you look up to heaven and think of God as a big, grumpy old judge ready to condemn you, then what kind of joy are you ever going to find in your life? You're going to be, like, totally stuck in a prison. Let's take a look here and see whether God is actually a God of joy. Your God, is he joyous? Is that what he's about? Well, if you look at the Bible, let's look at Jesus. He is the perfect image of God. Jesus says, he who sees me sees God. So, let's see what Jesus is like. I look, for example, at Luke 10, and he says here, verse 21, in that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. I thank thee, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babes. So did Jesus rejoice in the Lord? In the Holy Spirit, he's like full of joy in God. That's beautiful. If you look over here in John chapter 15, actually verse 11, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus is a very joyous guy. You know, when we look at Jesus and a lot of the ways he's been portrayed throughout time, boy, it'd be tough to have him around. You know, he's just angry and condemning, and certainly he preaches the law with thunder. That's true. But was he joyous to be around? I mean, he is full of joy. He even smiles. And he gives joy and wants joy to be in his people, that their joy might be full. Do you know that heaven is a place of great joy? If I open up here to 1 Chronicles 16, it's talking about God's place above. It says, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Wherever God is with his presence, there is fullness of joy. If you go to heaven, if you're living up there where the angels are, is there joy? Do you know that Jesus says there's more joy before the angels over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who need no repentance? Angels in heaven are exuberant with this great emotion of joy when they see God's will being done. Do you know that creatures have joy? Do you think the little birds twitting on the branches are singing to their creator? Do you think that the whales in the sea, likewise? John says in Revelation, I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and those under the earth and all therein saying, to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. Do you think that the grasshoppers, have you ever heard a grasshopper say this? Or a fish or a butterfly? Well, according to Revelation, one day you know, they will rejoice, and they already do in their Creator. They look to God, amazingly. I don't even know how, but they have joy. Do you know that even somehow, and I don't get this, inanimate things in creation seem to have joy, according to scriptures. Again, 1 Chronicles 16 says, let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. You hear that on the beach. It says, let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the wood sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. You ever hear a tree singing for joy? I don't know how it happens, but according to scripture, even the whole of creation, God fills it with joy. And then you get to human beings, and where's the joy, right? Do you think God actually wants you to have joy in your life? On a scale of 1 to 10, where's your joy right now? 1 or 10 being the most? 5? 7? 0.1? I'd like you to raise your hand right now if you have no troubles in your life. Man, Lutherans just don't raise their hands, do they? You know, we've all got problems. You know, you think, if only everything in my life were perfect, then I'd be joyful. Well, good luck with that one. Everybody's got problems. Y'all look very pretty right now. You're very good-looking people. But if I were to look down inside of your life, I bet I'd see a lot of problems. Troubles piling up. Can you have joy even in the midst of that? Does God actually want you to have joy? That's an important question to ask, because you know what? If you don't think God really wants you to have joy, good luck finding joy from him. Because, you know, a lot of people don't think God even wants them to be happy. Because you look at Job, I mean, he had so many troubles piled up. He says, my flesh is clothed with worms and dirt. My skin hardens, then breaks out afresh. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and come to their end without hope. And then he says, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good. Oh, man. I'm asking you, do you ever say that? You saying it this morning? I'm never again going to see anything good. This is just a big, depressing, long drudgery of a life. Oh, my goodness, and God doesn't want to give me any joy in it. I just better suck it up and get through it. Well, is that what God actually wants? You know, Jesus says, I'm speaking these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That's his will for us. When he was going to the cross, he says, you're going to weep and lament when I go there. The world's going to rejoice because they're killing me. But your sorrow is going to turn into joy when I see you again. Just like a woman, when she's giving birth, she's got a lot of sorrow. But when she has the baby, she no longer remembers that pain and sorrow because of the joy. There's a child born. And you're going to have that same joy when you see me again, Jesus says. And then he says, and no one will be able to take your joy from you. Does that sound like Jesus is talking about the kind of joy you get when you go down and buy an ice cream at Dairy Queen? Here today and gone tomorrow, surface joy? He wants you to have a joy that no one can take from you. Good times in life and terrible times in life, your joy will not depart from your heart. It's sort of like a Florida aquifer. You know, on the surface we have just the things on the very surface, but the joy that God wants is like this deep underwater river that like courses through the caverns under Florida, these aquifers that well up with springs, with purified water. No matter what's going on the top, they're always bubbling up perfect and pure. That's the joy God wants to give and put into our hearts. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. It's a fruit that's growing inside of us when we're in Jesus Christ. And as Michael was saying this morning, you got to nurture it. You know, first the bud, and then it grows into this beautiful, like, grape we see here. That's what God is working inside of you. He wants to put you into joy today. Are you going to leave here with joy? Well, that's what he desires. The kingdom of God, says Paul, is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. And rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So is God saying you're never going to see any good? Just deal with it. You got a tough life and forget hope and happiness. He says, no, no. Believe in me that I want to put this inside of you today. I want to restore your joy to you. What takes away our joy in life? You know, the thing that kills our joy, if I can say it in a word, is sin. There's sin has the ability to just suck the joy out of us, out of your life, and give you in its place sorrow and guilt and fear and loneliness and depression and anxieties and feeling distant from God and as if you're in a place of darkness and death is closing in. That can either be your sin or somebody else's sin hurting you, which makes you feel sad and take the joy out of your life. We got three kinds of ways sin can destroy it. Sins of our past can haunt us into the present. You know, I've known so many Christians, maybe when I look in the mirror, I might see one of them, who, you knows he's saved and knows he's redeemed, but at the same time, I still think on those former sins that I did in days past, and they still haunt me. Does that rob me of my joy if I think of such things? You know, you feel guilty. You feel bad. Think of what David said. When I declared not my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. And Jeremiah says, the joy of our hearts has ceased in dancing. It's turned into mourning. For the crown of our has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. So, are you haunted today? Anybody here haunted today because you remember all these things that you did that you knew you shouldn't have done, and that's taking the joy out of your present life with God because you still remember the things of which you've done and now you're ashamed? That's one way it robs us. We'll deal with that. We also got to deal with our present sin. You know, sometimes we don't do any sin at all. There's people around us that hurt us because they're sinners too. And they wound us and they do things that tick us off, or they don't act in the way we think they should act. Sometimes I think, Beth, the whole world would just be perfect if everybody would just do as I say. But people don't do what I say. They don't do what you say or think you should do. And that unnerves us because we know the right way to go, or at least we think we do. But then that hurts us. It takes our joy out when they act in ways that hurt us. Bad words and bad actions and just wound us. And boy, how do you have joy in that situation? Also, in the present life, we think, in our present day, sin, we wrestle with sin. Sometimes we might fall into it. That destroys our joy. Sometimes I'll say something I didn't want to say and that hurts. Or maybe we do right all the time. Who does? But, even if we do, we wrestle with sin in our bodies, wanting and pulling us in the wrong way, and we feel this terrible pain of a fight that we have with sin inside of us. And that makes us upset. You ever feel like, oh God, I should be a better Christian by now. I've been a Christian for 40 years or whatever. Of course, you wouldn't say that, Gianna. You're only, how old are you? But I've been a Christian so long. Why am I not better than I am now? And that causes us grief. And then we have the sins also working on our future. We think, man, my body's getting worse. I went with a youth group and I sprained my ankle. Ow. I'm getting older. People are breaking down. My parents are having so many problems right now up there in Cape Cod. Beth is coming back tonight. And Dad is really sorrowful because, he can't win the baseball game like he used to. And he fell the other day on the grass and it was raining. And Beth and my mom had to try to lift him off the grass. That's given him a lot of sorrow. When he thinks about the future and how, things are winding down a bit. And it can make us sad when we think about the future. sin, its presence and death that awaits us can make us, it can kill our joy in our present time. So what's the result? Let me ask, if you have no joy in your life, what are you going to be like? Well, you know, let's take a balloon, okay? You're a balloon. This is what God wants to do for you. He's breathing into you his life. You're getting bigger. He wants you full of joy. What happens as you go through and you lose joy? That was perfect. I couldn't have planned that better. You know what? You get deflated. Say deflated. If you start to lose joy, you get all the D words: deflated, depressed, defeated, dumb. You don't think as fast. You get decreased energy. You know, when Naomi was 5 years old and we took her to Disney, she was so exuberant and full of joy, she had energy till like 11 o'clock at night. As soon as the fun was over, boom, she was down. And we had to carry her home because the joy was gone. Her energy was gone. If you don't have joy in life, you're going to have no energy. Don't you want energy? Does God want to put energy into your life? Do you want to have joy getting up saying, this is going to be a great day, the Lord's with me, the joy of the Lord is my strength? If you don't believe you're going to get any joy from the Lord or have any joy in your life, you're going to be like the deflated balloon sitting over there in the ground. You're not going to have any energy to get up. You're not going to want to do anything. And life's going to be no fun. And it says, may as well put you in the grave right now. Because it's terrible that way. You know, Christians feel this way sometimes. If you feel this way, you're not alone. You know, you got Moses. He was at one point said, the burden of these people, too heavy for me. If you're going to deal like this with me, God, kill me at once. He wanted to die. So did Elijah. He said, kill me now. Job said, why didn't I die at birth? And why didn't I come forth from the womb and expire? Even Paul at one point said, we felt so utterly and unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. You know, when trouble piles on trouble and you start to get all those D words, deflated and defeated and depressed and decreased in your energy and joy is going, I want to ask you, can your joy be restored? David says this, when he sinned with Bathsheba, he said in Psalm 51, and his sin was weighing heavy upon him, he says, God, fill me with joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. O God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Who's your hope, Nancy? Jesus. If you don't have joy today, can he restore it? Who is the one who's going to do it? The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Jesus has got to put it into you, and he can do it. He can restore your joy today. So how's he going to do that? Well, let's think of a couple of ways. Think of the sins of your past. If you have sins that haunt you from the days gone by, and you can't let it go, you just can't get over the fact that you were a jerk and you did wrong before the Lord and hurt other people, we hear this good word. When Jesus came, the angel said to the shepherds, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of God, of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You know, what's God going to do with your guilt that you're still feeling today over those former sins through Jesus? He says, I've come to take that away from you. I want to have joy. I want to put joy into your hearts because I'm going to take those sins away. And I want you to believe that I've taken those sins away from you. We read, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And he's lavished grace upon us. Do you believe that as a Christian? I know so many Christians, sometimes I gotta say myself when I look in the mirror, where I'm like, I know I'm redeemed, I know I'm forgiven, I know I'm saved, but I don't know if I've taken it deeply enough in, because I still get haunted by the things I used to do, and I still feel guilty over them. If you ever feel like that, you're gonna lose your joy. And you know what God says? It's like the story of the prodigal son. Remember when the prodigal son came back, that had gone wayward, sinned against his father, and he came home and expected just to be accepted as a slave, a servant. What did the father do? Ran to him, embraced and kissed him, gave him a ring, a robe, shoes for his feet, killed the fatted calf, and had a party. And he says, and they began to make merry. That means they began to be joyous together. I want to tell you today, what is God's will for you in Christ? That you would be joyous together. But sometimes what happens, I think, is we're not only as Christians the prodigal son who's returned and to the father and been welcomed, but we're also at the same time, in a sense, like that older brother who refuses to come into the party. But in this case, we're both. We've been welcomed by God. He's having a great time and rejoicing, but we've refused to come to our own party. In other words, to take that gospel, the seed deep inside that's going to bear fruit of joy. I'm telling you today, take that gospel in. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. If there's a former sin that's bothering you today and you feel guilty over it, of something you've done, let Jesus Christ and his gospel confirm forgiveness in you. Set you free. The Father has welcomed you. What are you doing staying outside? Come in to the party. Let him rejoice over you. He's joyous. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who need no repentance. The angels are joyful over you. God is joyful over you. Don't be a bump on the log and refuse to come in. You be joyful over God, over you, in the forgiveness of your sins. Unto you is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. Good news of great joy. Are you joyful? Are you getting a little better? Don't let the sins of your past haunt you. God has taken them away. And then with our present sins, God also says, when you're wrestling with sin in your life right now and you're feeling all bad, like, oh, I should be a better Christian by now. Oh, oy vey, what's the matter with me? I should be stellar, but instead I'm in the dumps. What's the matter? God says, I'm not angry with you because you're wrestling with sin. Okay, hear that word. I am not angry that you're wrestling with sin. When I saved you, I put in you a new spirit. I raised you. But in your flesh, I know that there's still sin. I didn't take that out yet. And if you're fighting against the sin in your flesh, I'm not angry with you. In fact, I'm rejoicing over you in your battle. And you're going to win that battle. But that you fight sin in your flesh, that's a beautiful thing. So don't let that bother you. Don't let that rob you of your joy. If God's rejoicing over it, you rejoice over it too. And then when people are jerks around you and they want to take away and suck the joy out of your life, what can you do to have joy? Forgive them. Right? That's the antidote. Forgive them. You can let it go and get a heavenly perspective as well. This is going to only be for a little while. God is going to set these things right. You got to let it roll off your back like water off a duck's back through forgiving other people. And you know what? Our joy in life is dependent upon our relationship with God. To believe that he's joyful, to believe that he's a God of joy, that he wants to give you joy, that the gospel gives you joy. And if that is all solid, that you are forgiven and you're a friend of God, blinders are going to come off of your eyes. And you're going to start to have joy in everything you see. If God is with me, who can be against me? All of a sudden, the clouds, like this morning I'm thinking on this and I'm driving over the bridge. I'm like, look at the light around the edges of the clouds as the sun is rising over the sea. Look at the sparkling waters. I was walking out here behind our church and I saw this little tiny sprig of a tree, sorry, Vivian, or something growing up in the cracks of our sidewalk. You probably want to pull it out. But I was like, oh, how beautiful. Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful. Because I'm feeling the joy of the Lord in my relationship. All of a sudden, these blinders are coming off. If you're depressed and someone wants to show you good things, what do you do? I can't see any good. Oh, no. No, don't show it to me. But when you're joyful with the Lord, everything becomes joyful. Your eyes get opened and you begin to give thanks. And when you give thanks to God, oh, thank you for this tree. Thank you for those the clouds with the lining. Thank you for this bird, the sound I hear. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my family. Thank you for this church. All of a sudden, the joy opens your eyes and it just builds and grows and increases like this fruit on the vine. Pretty soon you're full of grapes through thanksgiving. Your eyes are opened. You can even say, I count it all joy when I meet troubles, because I know it's producing in me steadfastness, and that's producing in me a full effect, which will make me perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, it's the joy of the Lord's presence that is our strength. When you say, I'm lonely and forsaken and lost and all alone in life, God says, no, no. I'm with you always to the close of the age. Rejoice. I'm helpless, God. I can't do anything. No, no. I'm your shield. I will be your reward. It'll be very great. No. I'm suffering so many things, God. No, rejoice in the day and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. I can't do this task before me today, Lord. No, no. You can do all things through me. I strengthen you. My prayers are not heard, God. No, no. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy may be full. Do you know how friendship with the joy, with the Lord gives us such joy? Just by his very presence. But again, you got to believe that you're his friend. You got to believe that the gospel really has saved you. You got to believe that God really rejoices over you. And if you're good with God, and he's your friend, what's going to bother you? What can possibly upset your joy? Who can take it away from you? Death? No, I'll take care of that, God says. Troubles? No, I'll take care of that. Hurtings of others? No, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of everything. As David said, thou hast put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. So God takes away your sorrow over the sin of your past. He helps you in your present with his presence. And he takes away your sorrow over the future. Because you know what he says? You might think your future's bleak, but I know the plans I have for you. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Do you believe that? Is your future bright? Oh man, when we don't have joy, it looks bleak. But you know, God says, I'm your future. I'm your future. And this slight momentary affliction you're experiencing right now, that's just preparing for you an eternal weight of glory that's beyond all surpassing comparison. Because I'm with you, and I've promised you great things. David says, I keep the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart rejoices, and my soul, my body also dwells secure. For you won't even give me up to Sheol, to death, or let your godly ones see the pit. Thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy, and in thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Imagine yourself going down to the sea and seeing a big, great rainbow stretched over it, pouring out from God's hand gold coins down all over your beach. This is your future. There is more joy in his presence. Yes, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. We're heading above, friends, where there is a place of joy. God's with us in our midst. So, in conclusion, we're going to have a mixture of joy and sadness in this life. You know, it's not always going to be in right, outright, upright, downright, happy all the time. If people are like that, they're kind of annoying, aren't they? We got it all. Jesus himself was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but there's a joy that's going to course through these things, and I want you to be lifted up today. If you have friendship with God, you have joy, and if you go out of here, you can go out of here with friendship. confident that he loves you. And if he's with you, what can come against you? What can suck your joy away? If he gives it and his right hand pours it upon you in riches, nothing can take your joy from you if the Lord is with you. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Lord your God is in your midst, says the scriptures. He's a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. And in the end, the ransomed of the Lord, you shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, says the scriptures. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen.